Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 63 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, Brazil, Malaysia. Even the Russians are listening. The U.K., Norway, Sweden. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight the transformational moments that changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. Now you can listen to us live right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. If you have enjoyed the show, you can subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, and the Google Play Music app. Or you can subscribe right here on Blog Talk Radio. On the show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, amazing people that are creating the life of their dreams while elevating everyone around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of my guests, this is a live show. Go ahead and call us in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. Please help me welcome to the show, Matt Cutler. What's up, my friend?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Dude, I am rocking this thing, dude. Loving it. Have an amazing day. I'm off of work. You know, the military has an off day for family day, and that's
it.
Always good. I've had like four or five different calls, did some shows, you know, some other stuff. So yeah, man, loving it.
That's awesome, man. I just got off ship about an hour ago, and when I'm done this, I'm going to drive me and the dog are heading down to the beach to be with the family for the weekend. So yeah, run a 10 straight days of like 10 to 12 hour days. So
wow.
I'm ready for a couple days.
Oh, wow. Insane, man. Insane. So, man, I want to thank you for coming on the show. We've been talking about doing this for a while. So now is the time and I'm super pumped, man. So I want to thank you for spending time with us.
Man, I've been looking forward to this one for a while. I know we planned this back in, I guess, April. So it just shows how booked you are. So I guess that's a good thing on your end.
I guess so. So I titled this episode Max Out in Life with Matt Cutler. From serving in the U.S. Army to working as one of Pennsylvania's most renowned police officers to donating his time speaking to teens and young adults about the importance of leadership in their lives, Matt has devoted his life to helping others through both his professional and personal life. Growing up as the son of a single mother and the brother of a mentally disabled teen who was often picked on, Matt always knew it was his calling to serve others. A month after graduating high school, Cutler's brother, Andy, died in a violent car accident, and this became the single most impactful moment in his life. Matt excelled academically in high school and had an opportunity to attend one of the four major military academies, but he chose to enlist in the United States Army and served for 4 years as an intelligence analyst. After leaving the military as a highly decorated soldier, Matt began his career in law enforcement. Throughout his career, he has worked in uniformed patrol, investigations, undercover narcotics, SWAT, and is only one of a few thousand selected individuals out of 900,000 applicants to be hired by the newly formed United States Federal Air Marshal Service. In 2006, Cutler returned to local police work and he published his memoir that detailed his life with his little brother entitled A Brother's Love. In 2008, to help money to help raise money for charities established in his brother's name, he ran 78.8 miles across the state of New Jersey. In 2009, Matt launched his first company, Max Out, a unique fitness brand that owns a unique piece of patented strength training technology and owns and operates one-of-a-kind gyms utilizing this technology. Now, inside the show notes is his website, mattkubler.com. You can also check out his business, Max Out Corp. C-O-R-P, maxoutcorp.com. And also, he has his book right there, amazon.com, Brothers Love a Memoir. Go ahead and click on the links or copy and paste them into your browser and check him out. So, dude, you know, I know you pretty well. And, man, you've been through some stuff, dude. You've been through some stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. After reading all that, okay, what is your why? Why do you do what you do?
Wow. Well, thankfully this is a show where we talk, because that's what I'm going to do. My why is to serve. It's what I have been my entire life. I'm a servant, whether it was serving in the military or serving as a police officer or serving as a mentor to kids, protecting my brother. Whatever it was, I've always been serving others. So my why is to serve. And the reason why I'm passionate about it is obviously because you know, having lived my life with my brother who had autism before autism was a thing, and stuttered profusely, and you know, we lived in poverty and in low-income housing, and we got picked on every day, and I fought every day, and I laughed every day. You know, I learned resilience. I learned how to get up after a fight. I learned how to stand up for somebody, how to have somebody's back. And when he died, it was the single most devastating moment of my life. And I lost a purpose. You know, I had a purpose when I was protecting my brother. Now that's gone. And I felt as if, you know, a piece of me died when he died. And for 13 years, I lived a life of complete and utter brokenheartedness. And, you know, it was brutal. And I put 13 years, and I wasn't able to love. I wasn't able to share my love with anybody. I wasn't able to feel love. I was just angry all the time, and I had depression. And quite frankly, I think I had PTSD. You know, I never really thought about it until I started doing these talk shows about PTSD and associating it with me, but I definitely had it. And
yeah.
So my why is to live my life continuing to serve in a selfless way, so that when I die, I don't ever want to have a moment where I left something on the table or I didn't accomplish all the things I wanted to accomplish, and help as many people as I wanted to help. So my goal is to live a life of selfless service that people remember.
Yeah, so I feel the same way, man. Like I don't want to leave nothing behind. I don't want to be sitting there, you know, thinking what if, right? And now I'm too old to do it, and then I'm like, ugh. You know, like, I definitely don't ever want to live a life of regret, man. So I get where you're coming from, and I'm sure that was absolutely devastating. So was he driving, or was he, like, with friends?
Yeah.
Yeah,
believe it or not, you know, I don't know today whether or not I guess I don't, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know if autism is keeps you from driving. But, you know, my brother took him, I don't know how many tries, like 6 or 7 tries to pass the driver's license exam, mm-hmm. and he did. He had a 1979 Volkswagen Rabbit. And
oh, wow.
He loved that car. And he was a great driver. He really was. I mean, it's almost like, yeah, I'm sure you've seen Rain Man, and, you know, he says,
sure.
Really great driver. So, you know, I always remember my brother just being very proud of the fact that he was, you know, he had gotten his license and bought a car, and, you know, he was working as a janitor at a, like, an old folks home, a rehab kind of place, and he was on his way home from work, and for whatever reason, he went unconscious and swerved in an oncoming lane of traffic and hit head-on with another car and died a few hours later. And
jeez.
I can remember this day, I can hear my biological father's voice, and mind you, I had very little relationship with him, but the day my brother died, my mom and stepdad were on vacation, and this is obviously before cell phones, So the hospital had no way of getting a hold of them. And in my brother's wallet, he had our home phone number and my biological father's home phone number. And the hospital called my dad. And I can remember I worked at a restaurant. It was a pizza shop. And I was working that day. And I got the phone call. And I just remember my dad saying that, you know, he was in an accident and he's at in the hospital and he's in surgery and he didn't have any more information. And I went numb and things sort of were a blur, but I remember leaving and going to my friend's house. And later that night, my mom was calling after she had gotten word that he was in the accident. And she was sobbing. And I just kept saying, "Mom, I know, I know, I know." And she assumed that I knew that he had passed. And I didn't. As far as I knew, he was in surgery.
Oh, wow.
And so the next morning I went to work. I worked the breakfast shift. We also served breakfast at the restaurant. And about 9 o'clock in the morning, my mom shows up at the restaurant looking at me like I was nuts. And I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, why are you here? And I'm like, well, there's really nothing I can do for Andy at the hospital. I need to keep my mind busy. And she's like, you don't know? And the look on her face, just I knew right then and there. I'm like, oh, my God, he's dead. And I lost it.
Man.
Obviously. And so, yeah, it was brutal.
So it was definitely a transformational moment.
Yeah, that's, and it was transformational negatively. For me, I didn't handle that well. And, you know, the beautiful thing about life is if you try hard enough for long enough, you come out the other side at some point for most, you know, for most people. And you know, 13 years is a long time to be angry.
Yeah.
A long time to hate yourself. It's a long time to hate God. And I put on a nice fake face for it. But I knew I was broken. And I knew why I was broken, but I didn't know how to get out of it. And I didn't know how to change it. And I didn't know how to forgive myself. I didn't know how to forgive God. And it just really took a toll on me. And, you know, think about that. I mean, during that time, I got married to the most beautiful woman, amazing woman on the planet. And I couldn't love her. Like, seriously, I literally couldn't love. I had no desire or understanding of love. And in my head, I loved her. You know, I liked her. She was a great woman, and I knew that she was the one I wanted to be with, but I couldn't love her. And then 9 months later, I had my daughter. And I looked at her, and all I could see was I had a baby, and my fatherly instincts kicked in, and I needed to protect and do all that, but I didn't love her. And that is one of the hardest things in the world to say publicly, is that I couldn't love my wife and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow, man.
It just sucks. And
yeah, man.
Now that I'm through it, I can talk about it, but it really sucks going through it. I can tell you that.
Oh yeah, man. You know, I love when I started the show, man. I was like, how can I reach people? How can I connect? What's gonna really define the reasons why people would listen? And we connect through stories, and we connect through these tragic moments, because you're not the only person in the world who has lost somebody, whether it be, you know, grandma, a wife, kids. You know, I had a friend of mine who lost his 5-year-old son while we were deployed. While we were deployed, this happened. Oh. And, you know, I got 4 kids. I don't know kind of what that feels like. You know, I lost a friend one time back when I was in 8th grade, and we used to hang out all the time. He got hit by a car. And that was, you know, pretty devastating. I mean, we used to hang out all the time. But I mean, to grow up living with somebody, and then, you know, I can't imagine that. But the fact that you used this now, you wrote the book, you speak out, you're taking this moment and you're like, look, man, I went through this and it inspires people because they see your strength. You know what I mean? They see your strength. And that's why I love listening to people's stories, because on the, you know, because I watch your videos, dude, I'm pumped. I'm like, oh, hold on, Matt's on LinkedIn. Hold on. Like, I'll stop what I'm doing. I'm watching your stuff, dude. I'm pumped, dude. And it's just, you don't wear it like I'm in tragedy or I'm, you know, like, you're out here working hard, you know? So I say that because I love how the people come on the show and they're like, yeah, this is what I went through. And everybody's like, whoa, I would have never guessed. Right. So just looking at you, like, you would never guess this huge thing happened. But then you start digging into your story and, like, that's what connects people. So, I just want to thank you, man. I read the book and I was just like, huh. Like, it wasn't hard to read, but it was like, it was descriptive to the point where I could see in my mind kind of like what was happening. And it was like, huh, like it's tough.
Well, and thank you for reading the book. Thanks for taking the time. I know you got a lot of things going on, and you know, for me, I will always be a man of passion and purpose. Like, I just, it's everything I've ever done has to have a meaning and has to have a bigger, grander purpose than just the moment that I'm in. And, you know, whether it was going in the military or, you know, serving as a police officer or starting a business, whatever it is, I have to serve others and I have to create some sort of healing and comfort as a result of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it started with the book. And I tell people that I wouldn't be here today if I didn't get a gift of a quilt in 2002, 13 years after my brother died, made out of his clothes, that when my son was born. And if I hadn't gotten that quilt that day at that time, and then went down into my office and spent the entire night crying and remembering my brother and writing memories about my brother and just saving them in the files. And I wrote that night, I came back up at 7:30 in the morning with 26,000 words of memories written about my brother. And I felt relieved. I felt forgiven, if that's the right mm-hmm. word to say. Like, I, whether it was me forgiving me or God forgiving me or me forgiving God and myself, I don't know what it was, but I felt it, and I felt a release. And that morning, for the first time, I saw colors. I saw light. I saw the magnificence of light, and because I had literally been in darkness for a long time, and I forgot what it looked like. And
right,
you know, it wasn't an overnight thing. I wasn't woo-hoo, gay, and Mr. Motivated, inspirational guy, but it was the beginning of my healing process. And for me, you know, that process culminated. I'm still doing it today, but the main component of me healing culminated when I ran across New Jersey. You know, in 06, I published the book, and that was the most, you know, by far the single greatest thing I've ever done in my life is write that book for many, many reasons. But physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, the hardest thing I ever did was run across New Jersey. And during that time, you know, I was running for my brother. I was running to raise money for charities I set up in his name. And during that time, I connected with God, and I connected with my brother. I mean, if anybody had a, if there's like, you know, back, you know, GoPros, and if I would have had a GoPro, like, facing me while I was running, you would have seen out of the 78.8 miles, you know, probably 40 of me bawling while running.
Oh, yeah.
Sobbing.
You had said something
sobbing
before.
While I'm running. And I mean, just everything. I would see something. It would make me cry while I was running. Now, you know, you're out there. You're pretty much alone. I had a girl that ran with me a lot. But, you know, for the most part, I was in my own head. And I actually, toward the end of it, like within the last 20 miles, I had a woman who had saw me on the news the night before pull over in a little McDonald's as I was running by and run up behind me and hand me $20 and say, "This is for your brother. Thank you for what you're doing." I started sobbing, like uncontrollable sobbing, like snot
mm-hmm.
everywhere, like just crazy, ugly crying. And at the end of it, there was a, they had a big like 150 people showed up, and the police department and the EMS and military. I was escorted in on my run by members of the military who saw me on TV and wanted to run the last, you know, 7 miles of me in formation. And when I got there, I had nothing left. And that was the first time in my life that I felt like I had given it everything I had. Like every moment of my life culminated in that moment. And it was, that was the moment when I released everything.
Wow. Jeez, man. Yeah, I had heard you, you know, in a couple of different places talking about, you know, the run and what it meant and everything. And, man, I can't say enough about your strength, man. I just, you know, I look at you, I'm like, I just, you know, and it was funny because I'm a resilience trainer. You know what I mean? Like, I'm supposed to withstand everything, you know what I mean? But I look at what people have gone through, and I'm like, I don't know how you did it. Like, I don't, like, I've never been there, so I don't know. And I can give you all kinds of tips and tricks and skills and, oh, do this and you'll be fine. But really, coming from a level of empathy and emotional intelligence, I don't know, man. I don't know what my breaking point is because, like, I tried to take my life. So, I mean, I don't know what my breaking point is. You know what I mean? But I just, I know that, you know, like, I lost my grandfather in 2013, and that was a devastating moment for me. I just lost my grandmother 2 months ago. That was devastating, and it's just like, man, it's just like you keep getting harder because, like, the grandparents are like, like, you know, it's going to happen, whatever. So when it becomes like my mom, my dad, my cousins, my aunts, like, that's just going to get really tough. But man, I look at your strength and it's absolutely incredible. So,
well, I appreciate
so moving
that.
Forward, yeah, man. So moving forward, you know, you go into the military, you've been to the Persian Gulf, you did all that. Went in to be a police officer. You went through all kinds of jobs and all kinds of changes. And, you know, it seems like you've pretty much done everything that the police officer has to offer. What are you doing now to, you know, like you did the run and all that. What are you doing now to embrace these transformational moments that you've gone through? You know, what are you doing now to embrace those and then give that same message to other people?
That's a good question. So over the last 26 years, I've been mentoring kids. As a cop, mostly in the beginning, for majority of until I started Max Out. But, you know, for me, mentoring kids, I had a mentor in high school, was a police officer, and you know, I'd done some stupid stuff and got myself in some trouble, and he took me under his wing and sort of molded me into the person I am today. He was a Marine, former Marine, you know, cop, and just he was a guy that I looked to, and I said, if I'm going to be somebody, I'm going to be him. And, you know, so when I became a cop, first thing I did was start, you know, identifying moments when I would have contact with a kid, whether it was negatively or positively, and try to find a way of how can I positively impact their life. And I've done that hundreds of times in the last 25 years. But it was more of a, almost like the torch was passed to me, like I felt that way. So it wasn't necessarily a passion driven thing. It was done for me. So I really need to carry that on and do it for somebody else. And it became my passion, helping people and helping kids specifically, when I started Max Out. And, you know, it's a fitness-based business where we do a lot of, you know, athletic-based training and sports-specific training and performance training.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of kids, and I started training a lot of kids. And then, you know, when you're training kids, they start talking about things outside of what you're actually doing there, and then they ask for your opinion. And next thing you know, you're sucked into their world, and they rely on you for everything as a coach. And it's no different than a sports coach or a strength coach. It's, you know, the kids rely on you. And I realized that that opportunity to impact kids on such a deep level was kind of limited to the four walls of my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was selfish of me to limit what I was doing. I created a leadership program at Max Out, and you know, my kids were thriving in the program. And I'm like, okay, this, I have to be able to get more kids involved. So I started taking it out into the local schools for free, and providing leadership development training classes at the middle school level, because I feel that's where they're the most moldable. And that was 5 years ago. And so that being in front of a group and seeing the aha moments in their eyes and inspiring them to want more and to be more and to have, you know, leadership talents and skills, and then also empathy and kindness for others, because there was an anti-bullying message involved in that as well. And so that became the groundswell for my public speaking career. And so about a year and a half ago, I started getting asked to do a lot more school stuff. And the problem is when you're still a full-time cop and a full-time husband and father and running a company full-time. It's hard to find time when it's free. Like, I love helping people and I love doing stuff for free. But then all of a sudden I'm like, I have to start saying no because I don't have any more time. I'm stealing, you know, from Peter to pay Paul. And so a friend of mine said that the only way you're ever going to really impact anybody is if you charge, because you have to be able to compensate your time and not feel as if you're stealing from something else or limiting something else's ability to grow because you're stealing time from it. So that's when I became, you know, 18 months ago is when I started getting paid to speak. And it's allowed me to say yes more. It's allowed me to make decisions on my time that I otherwise would feel guilty about making.
Mm-hmm.
So, impacting those lives that way is how it all started for me. And now today, it's simply using my business as a platform for helping people physically, and then my speaking business to helping people emotionally. And then I have a consulting business where I call it Human Performance. I'm a Human Performance Expert, but it's basically consulting, you know, with coaching or mentoring, whatever you want to call it. But helping people identify where their strengths and weaknesses are and find out why they're having struggles. Kind of lifetime of experiences and a career of understanding human behavior and at my fingertips. So I'm hoping to utilize that even more as we move forward.
Right. Yeah, man, I kind of do the same thing. You know, as a resilience trainer and performance enhancement expert, you know, you can look at the strengths that people have, but they're always focusing on the weaknesses. So, you know, if you look at the mental side, the social side, the spiritual side, you know, some people just, man, I don't know if they've been told the whole life that they're not good enough or they suck or whatever, but some people I talk to, it's just, they don't believe in anything. You know, they've been run down so many times. So sometimes they just need a second body to go in there and go, man, you can do this. Here's some affirmations. Do gratitude. Do, you know, different things. So, I understand completely why you'd be the perfect person to get that done for them. So moving forward, what has been the best part so far? Right? Was it joining the military or being on stage as a speaker? What's been the best part so far?
Well, I think it's hard to answer that question, but I look at I can't pick one thing, but what I can tell you is the best part has been my own ability to recognize how the journey that I've taken in my life, how it's not a bunch of moments, that it's actually all connected and that it all ties into one another and each one led towards the next. And how now today, where I'm at today, and in a year and a half, 2 years, you're probably going to ask me that question, and I'm going to have a similar answer. And the answer is going to be today I'm able to share the collective nature of my journey with others in a way that is inspirational and meaningful, authentic, vulnerable. You know, I cry every time I speak, and I'm okay with that. And actually, if I made a promise to myself the day that I can't, that I get on stage and I don't tear up telling my story is the day that I'm done. And because I don't, you know, me, and For 13 years, I didn't cry. For 13 years, I didn't feel. For 13 years, anything other than anger and guilt. But the fact that I can feel again, and the fact that I can connect emotionally mm-hmm. with my life and everything that has happened, and the fact that I can remember my brother in such a way that it drives me to cry in joy and in sadness and missing him. And if the fact that I'm able to do that, and it makes me want to continue to do that every day. And when I do these podcasts, I truly enjoy getting to the point where I feel like I want to cry, because I know mm-hmm. now that I'm connecting with my brother, and it's a way that I feel as if we're together. And the more times I can share his story and get people to understand how amazing he was and his greatness and his purity. You know, he was, imagine being autistic and being on the spectrum and having, a severe stuttering problem, so much so like his eyes would roll in his head. We didn't have kids that call our house and say, can Andy come out and play? And he didn't have friends come over. My friends were his friends. You know, there wasn't, he just didn't have it. And now with the book and me sharing his story and being public with it, you know, he's got a lot of friends now. And even though they've never met him, they feel like they know him. That's when, you know, when you said you could see and picture everything as I was writing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story I wanted to tell. I wanted people to know my brother and call him a friend. And, you know, it's happened. And that's the thing I'm most proud of, because now I solved the problem for my brother, even though it was after he died.
And, yeah.
You know, that's what I love about my life.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. So where do you derive your inspiration from? Are you like a Gary Vee guy? Do you watch certain YouTube videos or, you know, do you post certain memes or whatever? Like where do you or who do you derive, your inspiration from? I know your brother, but what inspired you to write the book? And, you know, how do you craft the content when you're on stage, you know?
I have always been inspired by people who are genuinely loving, caring, giving servants. So that right. to me is attractive. So I watch a lot of different videos of different speakers, and some of which
sure.
is to gain intelligence, some of it is to enjoy, some of it's to, you know, spy on the other team. You know, there's a lot of reasons why I do
love
a lot
it.
Of different things. But when I write, you know, I always say that, you know, once you write a book, you kind of can't hide it anymore, especially when you write a life-telling book. You know, and I'm very public about my life, and I curse mm-hmm. like a truck driver, and I can be abrasive at times. I'm stubborn. I consider myself a tough guy, and but I'm also a big teddy bear. But I have a lot of different complexities, different layers to me, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And when I mm-hmm. when I post stuff, I try to make sure that I equally accent all layers, so that I'm not just the guy that cries on stage telling the story about his brother, that I'm also the guy that has, you know, some intensity behind him and
right.
some rough edges. And so I want to be as honest and true to who I am in all facets of what I do. So I don't want to paint a picture or look as if I'm painting just one picture of who I am, and people think that's me all the time. So for me, my inspiration yep. comes from trying to be as honest as I possibly can with who I am and all that I'm doing, whether it's as a cop or as a business owner. I'm fun. I like to sing and do 80s hip hop dancing, and I'm a knucklehead. I'm a knucklehead with a big heart and a desire to change the world.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it. So talk about resources. You know, I'm always curious, how these things happen. You know, like how did you, write your book, or how did you promote it, publish it? How did you get into being a police officer? Like, is there an academy? Like, I'm always curious of the path that people have taken. And sometimes you're like, I would have never thought of that. Like, holy smoke. So, So I ask you, you know, what are some of the resources, whether it be books, programs, you know, how did you do anything that you did on your journey?
I am the single most stubborn human being on the planet when it comes to success. Because I, to my own detriment, I want to figure it out.
Like, I'm the same way.
I don't ask for help. I don't, you know, I had an appointment to the Coast Guard Academy, and instead I enlisted in the Army. And I don't regret that whatsoever. Made the best friends of my life, best friend on the planet. He was my bunk mate for 3 of my 4 years. And I saw the world. I went to a war. I spied on the Soviet Union and did some cool stuff. And when I got out, I knew I wanted to be a cop. I didn't want to go to college because I just couldn't see myself at 22 being a freshman in college. And I never really had a desire, even though I had a 4.0 and I got a rather high IQ, I guess, and I'm not dumb. And I just felt I was very unchallenged in school. I never read, read a book. The only book I ever read in high school was Animal Farm from cover to cover. And then every other book I was supposed to read, I would read the first, couple pages of each chapter and the summary on the back of the book and bullshit the rest of it. That's just how I had a gift for
Cliff Notes.
And well, I didn't even use Cliff Notes. I just sort of winged it. And I had a 4.0, and so I get out of the Army, and now I'm an Army vet, a combat vet, a tough guy. And I'm like, all right, time to be a cop. So I took one test in a town where my grandparents were from, and my dad was born, and which was nearby, and finished number one and got hired, and that started my career. But part of my stubbornness is that I need to move. Like, I can't be stuck somewhere, and I can't ever feel like I'm stuck somewhere. And the problem with law enforcement is it's a 25-year commitment to get a pension. And in Pennsylvania, where is one of the states that doesn't have a statewide pension plan, if I go from one department to another department, my time clock goes back to zero.
And, no way.
So I got 25 years on, but only 12 that count. Now, mind you get whatever money was in your pension is yours, and you reinvest it or whatever, and I did that. And so it's that money is serving its purpose, but the time that I gave is no longer, it's not valid towards my pension.
That's
so
crazy.
I moved a lot because I couldn't stick and stay, and I couldn't feel landlocked. So I went from one department to another department, and 9/11 happened, and my combat juices started to flow, and I'd been on the SWAT team for 6 years before that, so I was uber highly skilled in the firearms and tactics. And so when the opportunity came to become an air marshal, I applied, and I was fortunate enough to be one of the few that got hired right after 9/11. And I did that for a little over 4 years, and it was a great experience in the fact that I met some amazing people, and the training was by far the single greatest thing I've ever been around. I was trained by Delta Force and Navy SEAL operators, and on a weekly basis, it was intense. And so I'm very thankful that I had that opportunity, but I knew I wasn't going to be flying airplanes for the rest of my life. An opportunity came to join the police department I'm at now, and I'm very thankful for that opportunity, because it gave me an opportunity to be at home again with my family. I was a really shitty father for 4 years when I was in the Air Marshals, because I wasn't home. I was gone. And when I was home, I was jet lagged. So for me, being in where I'm at now allowed me to do all the things I'm doing now, because my chief is an amazing guy, one of my best friends, and it allowed me to start my company. I borrowed $150,000 from a guy who I barely knew, to start a company with him and another guy, and without any idea of how to be successful as a businessman. I had never really owned a business in that level before. And I was going to figure it out. And I was the COO ops guy. Like, I was the guy that was creating all the processes and executing on the plans. And I figured it out. It took a while. I made some mistakes, and but you know, we're 9 years, and we opened it up in, you know, during a recession, which I highly do not recommend. Opening a business and borrowing a crap ton of money during a recession.
yeah, it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, no. But you know, I'm now debt free on the business. I don't owe any money, and we're about ready to launch a new. We got 2 patents within the last 3 years, and we're launching a new device, new piece of technology that's going to change the world. And we're launching it with the Pittsburgh Steelers as our partner.
Oh yeah, that's right. I saw that. That's super cool, man.
So, yeah, so that's you know, all that stuff and impacting lives and helping people who can't walk and you know, seeing how science and technology and methodology and all that help the human body just inspired me to continue to find different ways to help and inspire and help as many people as I can, whether it's through speaking and emotional support and sharing a story so that somebody's going through it can figure it out on their end, and or just being there for somebody. You know, when I named my company, I Got You, and because every day of my life since I was a little kid, I told somebody I got them. And,
yeah.
And it's been my mantra all my life. And when it was time to start that company, it was a no-brainer.
Perfect. So for the listeners that are listening right now, if you have any questions for Matt, you can call in 657-383-1109. We are live on Life Transformation Radio. So moving forward, what are your plans for 2018 and moving into 2019? Where do you see yourself going from here?
Well, we're going to be, you know, first and foremost, I'm trying to transition out of law enforcement. Yeah, I recognize those 50 hours a week. As much as I've enjoyed my career and I believe I've been good at my job, I'm ready to start a new career. And so transitioning out of police work is my number one priority. And how I accomplish that has probably got multiple different layers. And you know, it's going to start with the new device that we're launching with the Steelers and you know, running that operation to get those things sold and out the door, and then focusing on my speaking and consulting business. And my goal for the rest of this year is to have a real quick launch with the device and to get booked on another. I want to get 10 more speaking gigs before the end of the year, and then take on some consulting clients. And you know, the podcasting world is what I think is going to be another platform for me to share, and I think I'm going to start a podcast in 2018. And you know, I've been on 12. When the month of September is over, I've been on 12 in the last 3 months. And
very cool.
I really am thankful for those opportunities because it gives me an opportunity to share my story with a larger audience. And as part of my marketing strategy for my speaking is to, you know, the great things about these interviews is that they're evergreen. So, you know, I can cut and paste links all day long. And there's no better way to tell people what I'm about than to have them actually listen to me tell it.
And, yep. Absolutely.
I think that's going to be that's going to be my 2018 plans. And then 2019 is transition out of police work.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I've got 3 years to go. I retire from the Air Force in 2021. So I've got 3 years to go. So, you know, I'm building everything now. You know, this is the third business I've built, you know, since I've been in, and this is going to be the one that carries me. You know, I sold the other two, and this is the one for me, you know. So it'll carry me all the way through my, you know, 40, 50, 60, whatever, you know, speaking,
right,
doing the podcasting and all that. So, yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I love it.
Well, my goal is to get a TED. You know, luckily I'm a finalist. I've been a finalist for 2. I didn't make the first one. I guess I made the top 50 and it took 30 something or whatever.
Yeah.
And now I found out I was a finalist for another one, and I'm waiting to hear if I got that one. And
oh boy,
you know, it's like putting MD at the end of your name when you're speaker. And I know you know right? the value of being able to put TEDx speaker on your resume. And I applaud you for getting it. You nailed yours. I've watched it many, many times. And you're doing everything the right way. You're crushing it in ways that I hope to do myself. And you're doing it with similar parameters. You know, you got a full-time job that you got to give your effort into and give your all to. Mm-hmm. And yet still find ways to accomplish all the other stuff you're trying to accomplish. So we have a lot of similarities in our current situation.
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, I might as well build it while I have a safety net now. I can make all the stupid, dumb mistakes now, because you do that stuff without a safety net and you try to bootstrap your own thing, man, it's gonna fail, you know. So, you know, I invest in the mentors now. I do everything I'm supposed to be doing now, so that I can get to the level that I need to be at, you know, when that safety net is cut. You know, because a pension of $2,000 a month is not going to cover certain expenses that I may or may not have. So the goal is to be debt free by 2021. Is to be debt free. It's totally doable. And roll out of the military with some money and debt free and a self sustaining business, and you know, scale it, man. Just go full force, you know.
That's awesome, man. I applaud you for all your. I mean, I watch. You know, you're a grinder, and I appreciate another grinder. And I got my ambitions for my business stuff is, you know, the max out thing I put 9 years into, and when you don't get paid for 9 years, and yeah. You work 40 hours a week, it can break a man. But when you're passionate about what you're doing and you know the value of the effort in the long run is going to, you know, impact the world, then you just sort of you find the inspiration and the motivation to continue on. And for me, I've done that, and we're at that precipice now of greatness. And you know, that's my, you know, when people say my financial win, that I know this one's gonna, that's gonna be my financial win. Speaking and consulting, you know, I have short-term goals. You know, my speaking, I'm very linear in my thoughts on what I want to do with that. I don't want to be Tony Robbins. I don't want to be Gary Vee or anybody like that. I just want to be Matt Kubler, who gets asked to tell a story as many times as he possibly can every year. And you know, that's it. You know, I don't really have a whole lot more outside of that. And I don't think if I did anything outside of that, it would probably come off. People would see the difference between what I do as an inspirational speaker and anything else, and probably not like it as much. And, you know, I'm pretty clear on that. And the consulting, I have a lifetime of experiences that I can pretty much, you know, fix any problem in 5 minutes, but then implementing it's the issue. You know, I can solve the problem. I know what the solution is, but getting the person who's going through it to implement the solution is where the hard work comes. So, I have a very analytical mind, and I'm able to see things pretty clearly. So I hope that turns into something that allows me to, you know, make some money at that and help people along the way.
There you go. Dude, I love it, man. I love it. So, this is the moment of the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, your website, Facebook profiles, your products, movies, give a shout out, do whatever it is. Shameless plug moment. Go.
Well, obviously I want to plug my website. So www.mattkubler.com, C-U-B-D-L-E-R. Everything that you want to know about me is on that. From Max out to my book to videos and news articles or whatever, it's all on there. You know, I want to say that I have the most amazing wife on the planet who allows me to be me and doesn't put any restrictions on who I am. And her name's Lauren, and she's amazing. And I got an amazing two kids. You know, my daughter Rebecca's in college, junior, All-American, academic All-American, going to be an All-American swimmer this year, two-time NCAA qualifier. She's amazing. And then my son Andrew is going to be 16 next in about 3 weeks. Named him after my brother, obviously. And he literally just wants to be me. And I couldn't be more proud of him either. He's amazing. And, you know, I, I want to thank you for the opportunity. You know, John Vroman introduced us, and John is a good friend and somebody I admire for his ability to live life with literally, I think he might have a rainbow in his heart, a literal rainbow.
Right.
I've never met a more positive, uplifting person in my entire life. So I'll give a shameless plug to John Vroman, who started all this for me as far as the podcast and just inspiring me to really push towards becoming a full-time speaker.
I love it, man. Yeah. John Vroman is the human being of human beings. He's just like, how do you, and now I'm a pretty positive and energetic dude, but like, I get super mad sometimes. Like, I don't think I've really, you know, it's like one of those guys that they're so uplifting that when they're mad, they're like, I'm really mad, guys. Really mad,
right.
You know, like, you know, but he still finds a way to be positive about things. Like, even when things make him mad, you know, and I've seen him just be like, no freaking way is this happening right now. Like, I've seen him like irritated and just be like, oh man. But he still finds the goodness in every situation. Finds the goodness.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, John Vroman is absolutely, absolutely amazing. Awesome, man. So as we wrap up and close the show, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
Well, I use a quote in every speech that I give. Your life is made up of two dates and a dash. What are you going to do with your dash? And it really encompasses everything I believe in. You know, with when you lose someone as close to you as I did with my brother, and it's such a tragic and sudden loss, it really helps you realize, you know, looking back on it now, how fragile life is. And for me, I want to make sure that I take as many chances as I can to have the single most monumentally great life that's ever been lived, so that when I go, when God calls me home, and I don't know if that's tomorrow or in 50 years, but I think if I died tomorrow, I'd have a church full of people willing to stand up and say, Matt Kubler was a good man, and he meant something to me. And that's really what life should be about here.
Awesome. Dude, I love it, dude. I just, there's nothing I can say. There's nothing else I can say, man. I love the way that you articulated that, and what a great way to close the show, dude. You are an amazing dude, man. Thank you for coming on the show, and man, if there's anything that I could ever do to help you, just name it.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it, and likewise, I got you.
Perfect. So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest impacting the world around him. If anything Matt has said resonated with you, please reach out to him. Please let him know that you heard him on Life Transformation Radio. Reach out to him at mattkubler.com and buy his book. I'm telling you, it is a quick read, but it is an emotional it's an emotionally charged read. So buy the book, Brothers Love, a Memoir. The link right there is on Amazon. And again, you can reach him at Matt Kubler, C-U-B-B-L-E-R, mattkubler.com. Please subscribe, rate, and review this show, Life Transformation Radio, on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, or right here on Blog Talk Radio. So as we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.